This is RSBNB Update, episode 473, recorded Friday, July 11th, 2014. Regard for rhinos. Hello, everybody, and thank you for being with us on RSBNB Update. This week, we got a small update to chat with you about. But first, we have somebody who is one of RSBNB Update's fan favorites joining us this week. Joining me and Trekkie is Uncle Dano. Welcome to you.
Oh, thank you, Shane. That was a very nice comment. I don't know if I agree with it, but thanks so much.
Well, you are always
the wisest of us all.
Yeah, and you are always modest, and I always hear from people. You're one of the ones that people always want to hear from on the show, so that's what we're doing this week.
Well, thanks, Shane, and thanks everyone else.
So this week's main update is the Royal Rhinos Awareness Campaign. So for anybody who hasn't looked at the RuneScape website this week or logged in, Royal Rhinos is a charity called From United for Wildlife, which is run out of the UK. And basically what this charity does is raise awareness for the plight of the rhino in Africa. So this is coming to us in-game, and it's raising awareness by asking players when they log in each day at the start of the day a question pertaining to the rhino. And these questions are, for the most part, relatively easy to figure out, but in the event that you do not know the answer to them, you learn by doing the question. And each day you get a little bit of a reward for doing so in the summoning skill, and at the end of 4 or 7 days respectively, you can adopt a royal rhino pet. So, what do you guys think of this update? Let's start with Uncle Dano.
I think it's absolutely fantastic, and I really am impressed with Jagex's efforts in actually, you know, making people aware of very valuable charities. Number one, with the Well of Goodwill in raising money for a very good charity, and here bringing awareness, another good, very, very good cause. And just bringing awareness in the game to a lot of issues that go around the world that we really have to pay attention to. And this is speaking kind of very selfishly, because I myself in real life am a conservation biologist. So this really piqued my interest. And although where I work in Canada, we don't have too many rhinos. But
don't you have them in the zoo?
Yeah, maybe the Toronto Zoo might have one or two. But
and that is precisely why I thought this might be a good week for you to come on, because I figured you might have some interest in this.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, from my perspective, it's absolutely commendable for Jagex to bring awareness to conservation issues. In my field, it's something that people do grow up with in school. We do have our agency has a lot of school programs that teach kids about conservation, wildlife, and habitat restoration, and the importance of nature in our lives. And when you know, you get away from school, you generally don't get those messages. And so when you're playing a game and all of a sudden you have a very good cause come up and it's bringing attention to something that is extremely important for that particular species, rhinos, because they are on their way out because of very terrible things we as humans are doing. We're hunting them and exploiting them for money and greed. And in my mind, as a conservationist, If there are things that are beyond human control that are just part of natural selection and natural catastrophic events for species, that's something that is acceptable. But it is not acceptable morally if we as human beings, as species on this planet, are the exact cause of something to go extinct. And people always ask, well, why do we have to really matter about all these species on the planet? Why do we have to pay attention to this? Like, who really cares? And my answer to that is that everything lives in balance on this planet. That's the way it's designed to work. And when we don't pay attention to that, we are actually not even paying attention to our own survival as a species. And I don't want to get on the soapbox, but here's a classic example, is that most of your pharmaceuticals have come from plants. And if we didn't have all of these species on the planet, we wouldn't have the medicines that we have to cure the diseases that we have. Now, think of a disease that may not yet affect the human species. And one of those species out there on this planet may have the cure for it, and we don't know about it yet. If we wipe it out before we even find the cure, we have self-destructed. So we are actually damaging ourselves.
Very good summary right there of the entire situation pertaining to the rhinos in the real world. And just basically the plight that they face in their natural environments. And that's one thing that the questions, you know, really have gone on to highlight over the past 5 days, I think now. Basically showing various aspects of the difficulties that the rhinos face. Like the other day, there was one pertaining to their habitats being encroached on and their lack of food. Another one is, what are the rhino horns made of? And why are people always after them? That sort of thing. So I guess I want to ask you from your perspective in terms of what you do, is there approach as to teaching through this quiz and educating this way through the game, the way you guys would do things in your field?
We do outreach programs and we use social media, and we actually, through the school programs that we actually run, teaching school programs, school children, the conservation issues, we actually do this through games so that they learn the messages. This is just one avenue. It's a very unique form of social media in that you're not using Facebook or Twitter. You're using RuneScape as a media to actually get the message across, actually in the game. And I think that's fascinating. That is just brilliant to me.
Yeah. And I mean, when you think of playing RuneScape, up until their first charitable effort this year, we really didn't see, you know, that third wall coming down as to the real world interacting with the RuneScape world in that way. And they said that's definitely something they're going to be continuing to do more of. And I really like that aspect, because it shows two things. It shows, you know, that JAGX just isn't the evil people that everybody makes them out to be. I wanted to use a different word there, but I didn't, because so many people use that word describing them. And secondly, it really shows a genuine concern for things outside of their realm of expertise, which is just great.
Yes. I mean, they are bringing messages that are not necessarily part of the gaming industry into the game, but it shows that they're actually having a moral and social conscience, and not
yes.
just being an industry designed to make money, 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 and that's it.
Yeah. And I
mean, and I really like that.
Compare that to other games out there that, you know, people might be playing, say the Call of Duty franchise, or another one that, you know, really just is blatantly targeting towards microtransactions and whatnot is Star Trek Online. It's all about the money for them. And you are right that, you know, you don't see this that much anymore or at all in the video game industry. So maybe that's something that JAGX can be a positive leader in and encourage other people to do somehow. I don't know how they would do that, but it would probably be a very good thing for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even when I got introduced to the game, it was for the purposes of ensuring that, you know, my children and my nephews, that's why I'm Uncle Dano, they introduced me to the game. They were safe online interacting with the online world, because they're communicating with other players. And I went, you could get into some real trouble that way quickly if you don't know what you're doing. And so when I investigated the actual game and the rules that they had and the reporting system and the conduct of behavior that JAGX was expecting from its players, I immediately became very impressed with them as running something that is actually very credible. They have a lot of integrity, and they want to make sure that this is a very good product and not just something that is going to bring in clients and money. So I'm very impressed with their moral standards and their ethical standards. So, I mean, this just adds to it and that when they're expanding their messaging to the RuneScape community about all sorts of different things, charities to raise money for, environmental causes to bring awareness to, this just makes them a better company overall in their greater public image, in my mind.
Yep. Completely agree with you there. And there are other things that I've been pointed to in the past that I won't go into here because they're kind of a touchy subject as to things Jagex has actually done. But it really goes to show to me that they do fully care about their players and what is going on. So thumbs up to them. Have you adopted any of these pets yet in game?
Well, you know, the initial white rhino, and then I've answered the questions, and so hopefully to complete the entire set of questions, and I do have 96 summoning, so the ultimate pet or familiar is going to be useful. I guess it's just a pack yak override, really, isn't
yeah.
it?
Pack yak override, but lasts for 1.5 hours or 2 hours if you got the black one.
Yep, absolutely. But in fact, I mean, to answer the questions, a lot of the questions are made for dummies, of course.
Yeah.
But you know what? Some of the questions I'm going, okay, well, how many are left in the world? Well, that's a good question. And you really don't get that from the information you received in-game. You actually have to go to the United for Wildlife website, and they don't give you the actual number, but they give you the amount that has been lost from the original populations. And you try and make an educated guess as to approximately how many are left in the world. And so that actually caused me to go to the site, read the entire site, look at all their causes, read about the actual rhino. I mean, I'm a conservation biologist, but I didn't really know all the different detailed aspects behind rhino conservation. And it was very fascinating for me to read about that and actually just know that this is a very good organization because they are affiliated with other conservation agencies that I do actually work with. The Nature Conservancy is one.
Okay.
I work with the Nature Conservancy of Canada with our agency, and they actually help us purchase properties that are significant habitat. And then I go out there and study these properties and determine, you know, what they have on them biologically as far as nature, and then prescribe how to take care of them and manage them and bring them into proper health. World Wildlife Fund, too, is something that everybody knows. So these are other agencies that they're on the bottom of the United for Wildlife webpage. Other conservation agencies are mentioned there, and they're probably affiliated as a collective group of conservation agencies. It's a very credible organization, and it's a wonderful cause.
All right. These conservationists actually in-game, the ones you can go talk to about this, will be in-game for 2 weeks, so we're already a week up on that. Definitely go check them out. And I think the thing that everybody should ultimately end up checking out is probably the United for Wildlife website, which is the main cause about this.
Absolutely.
I wonder if they would have put a link in game to the website. I haven't seen that yet. Have you seen if there's a link in game that you can actually click?
No, I don't think there was one in game, but on the actual post itself announcing
there was.
The rhinos, there was. There was, yeah.
All right. Well, if there's nothing about the rhinos, then we should probably move on.
All right.
So next up, just general really tweaks and fixes this week. New seasonal high scores are out again. How do you feel about these?
I don't look at the high scores that much. I'm not overly interested. I think that probably, as far as I'm concerned, the only thing I look at is maybe if, you know, I'm up on the RSBNB high scores where I'm at with the rest of the community, or overall where I am in the game. But as far as specific skills that I'm working on, I'm more of an occasional player, so I only play about 4 or 5 hours a week. So I'm not really somebody who's going to be very competitive in the high scores anyway, so it's not that much of an interest to me.
Sure, that makes sense. One thing, though, that people were kind of upset about is that these high scores don't really seem to be that fresh. They're always the same thing. Slayer Tower kills, Red Imp kills, total contribution on the Cabbage minigame, and total monkey punches. So, I mean, it would be nice to see some other things in there. Maybe, oh, I don't know, most herbs harvested in a week from farming. That might be interesting.
Yep.
What else could we put in there? Pretty much anything, I think, based on these.
Yeah, absolutely. How about something like quickest achievement in getting all 10 or 11 penguins?
Oh, that would be good.
So if they could actually time you as a starting the first penguin that you find, and then you have to get all the rest of them, see how quickly you can get them.
Yeah, so go on a penguin hunt and turn that into a bit of a mini game there. That'd be good.
Yeah.
So if you're into high scores, there's your thing. Get punching those monkeys or cabbages or whichever side you want to be on.
Yep.
Next up, the player-designed pet in Solomon's General Store, the Zen the Panda Sage.
He is cute. Okay. I have to admit that.
Let's give him that. Let's give him that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not much for pets in this game, so I'm just mentioning this for your listeners' benefit out there, but we'll give him that this is a well-designed pet, and it's probably something you'd want to have following you around if you like pandas.
I suppose so, and they did give a recent upgrade to our menagerie and our houses so we can store more pets there, right. So we have to have more pets to store, I guess. So
yeah, and not to mention the rhino pets as well.
That's right. It'll be a zoo in the house.
Yeah. As if, who knows? I mean, when construction came out, did we really imagine that 8 years in, that the single most used for the player-owned house, aside from training prayer, would be for storing pets, turning it into the zoo effectively?
Absolutely. You only need two rooms, that's it, yeah. And you're set.
All right. Also, the amount of treasure hunter keys you get when redeeming a bond has been increased from 8 to 12. And as these changes have also been made to the packages you can buy on the billing website. So if you collect treasure hunter stuff, there you go.
Yeah.
And of course, the free fox outfit is available to everybody who voted for it last month and all members in general. So I guess you can really find out now what the fox says.
Or what the fox looks like, but I put it on once and I went, oh, you're never going to see me wearing that in game. Come on.
Yeah, that, I mean, okay, maybe if we're dressing up for some kind of party or something, or maybe we just want the headpiece, yeah, or something like that, but the rest of it, no, that's okay. I don't want that.
Yeah.
Is there anything that jumps out at you in the patch notes from the week?
Oh, there was a few little interesting things, I think. One of the ones, I always wondered why you always got those multiple 99 showing up on the time when somebody, you know, got all of those skills in a row, and it just kept going. Well, that's because, I guess, the Statue of Darmok did that when you were cashing in, mm-hmm, all of those things, and it just went one after the other. So they fixed that. Another good thing is that although I kind of like the idea of somebody, you know, going and getting one of those achievement banners and putting it up and saying, oh, look how good I am in game, and it lists all their stats. They tend to put those things in very inconvenient places where you maybe want to click on something. And so they've removed those from, you can't put them near banks, you can't put them at Shantae's Pass, you can't put them in certain locations where it's interfering with other players' gameplay, which is a good idea, okay? I would like to see them do that also with, you know, the clan avatars?
Yeah,
they have a tendency on getting in the way. I would like to see them either reduce the size of those or hide them from crowded areas or something like that.
Yeah.
Because
it's just too much clutter. And, you know, even for good computers, one thing the RS Engine has never done well is handle huge amounts of objects in a single place. And this was so apparent back in May with the RS road trip. Everybody would bring pets, clan avatars, those signposts, you name it, whatever, to wherever the stamping yep. session was going to be. And they did it just to create that server load and cause trouble for people. I don't see why they did that, but I completely agree with you.
Yeah. There was a couple other good ones here that I saw, whereas the Holy Wrench, which extends your prayer potion effectiveness, can now be worn in the pocket slot. So that frees up a space in your inventory. And the mounted glory amulets in your player-owned house now have teleports on the right-click option. And I also noticed just the other day, which I probably I didn't pay attention to some of the past patch notes, but there one thing that I always wanted was a right-click option just to go into my house, and there it was. All of a sudden, I found it. Hey, I can go right in my house and not have to go through the dialogue yep. to get in there.
That's good. And, I mean, talk about little quality of life updates. The glory amulet one, I actually stopped using my my house teleport to have access to glory right away, primarily because of the lodestones, but also just because it was such a small target to click, and then you have to go through the menu option of doing that. It's nice to have the right click now.
Yeah, I know. And anything to speed up prayer training at the Gilded Altars is just, you save a couple of seconds here or there. It just speeds up the experience and you make it so efficient. And now with all the bonus XP anyways, it's just getting so fast to get 99 prayers.
That's right. That's a topic for another day, but I got a couple portable skilling stations. There was an error where they'd vanish and you could continue to use them after the fact. So that could potentially be exploited by people. So it's good that's been fixed. Some agility shortcuts have been added to the Trinome Stronghold. So you no longer need to make your way all the way to the south to gain access to it by foot. Which is good, because, I mean, let's say you're off up at the Piscatoris Hunter area and you want to come down at the Trinome Village. You got to go all the way down and around and up, and it just takes a lot of time. So it's good to see that.
Yeah.
And on the other side as well.
That was a good improvement. But on the left and right side of the Trinome Stronghold, there aren't many areas that I actually frequent. So if I do have to go there for, say, a daily challenge to go on the agility course, or if I'm hunting a penguin, of course, we're going to use our teleports most effectively. And so I'll use something like a Ring of Dueling to teleport to mobilizing armies, which the spirit tree is right there, and bang, I'm in. So that's how I get there very, very quickly.
Fair enough. Makes sense. All right, speaking of penguins, the amount of penguins found in the current week is now displayed along with your points, your current point total, when you hunt a penguin.
That's great, because you're always wondering, did I get that one?
Yeah.
And how many do I got left?
How many left? you know, which one am I missing? That sort of thing. I know Team Penguin will be very happy with that. Another thing, Slayer task completion messages are now green. They were red previously. And you know what? That really makes sense from a UI standpoint and user experience, because what does red mean in real life? Ask yourself. Stop. Error.
Warning.
Right?
Warning. Yeah. Warning. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So having positive messages in green or something like that is good. So it's about time we see little updates like that. So good job, Jagex, this week. Nice, concise week of fixes, but nothing really too earth-shattering. Oh, and for those of you guys who have completed the latest Goblin Quest, you now have a God Wars dungeon teleport, so you no longer need to run all the way around from Trollheim.
Yeah, and additionally, players with a Mahogany Eagle Lectern in their player-owned house may create teletabs to this location as well. Now, I was going to ask, is that regardless of whether or not you've completed the Mighty Fall quest?
That is a good question. I have no way I can test that because I've completed the quest, but, you know, I think that...
I haven't, so I'll test it.
Okay, that'd be good, because I think that, you know, if you haven't completed the quest and if you can make this tablet still, you know, you might as well be able to sell that and make some profit on the exchange. Or, I don't know, I'm leaning towards, based on how the other ones work, that you need to have the teleport unlocked in order to make it, but I could be wrong. So let us know about that once you test that, and we'll update the notes accordingly.
Okay, I will.
Alrighty, so Legacy Mode, it's launching on July 14th. Uncle Dano, we have not got your perspective on this yet. Are you a proponent of Legacy Mode and adding it to the game?
I would say at this point in the game's evolution, I would say no. Unless I find that there's a particular circumstance whereby it's just easier to maybe just complete a simple Slayer task or something like that. I don't need to use abilities and I can go to Legacy Mode and just have it go all by itself. But I'm thinking that in my mind, a lot of times I don't like change, but when change comes, I accept it. And what happens is after a few weeks, maybe a month or so, I get so used to it that it just becomes a new part of the game for me and I get used to that. And then so when this is changing again, changing it back, am I going to go back to the way I was or do I like the new way? And I think I like the new way. With the action bar and using, not manual mode, or
Revolution?
Revolution? No. Revolution.
Revolution is the automated one.
The automated one where you're queuing up your abilities. I think that's great for me to do my stuff because there's a little bit of interaction in some of the threshold or the higher abilities, but it builds it up with the basics. I put them in the order that I want to, and I get used to kind of just killing the NPCs and the monsters a certain way. And once I get used to something, it feels comfortable, and I don't want to change. Unless I'm forced to. So given the option to go back to Legacy, I don't think I'm going to do that.
All right. What do you think of the player base out there who is still really just harping on the fact that they want the evolution of combat system completely expunged from the game and won't even accept Legacy because it still has aspects that they don't like? What do you have to say to those people? Based on your attitude of change that you just mentioned?
Well, this company is trying to make this game better, and they've introduced improvements. Now, here's an improvement to the combat system, the evolution of combat, and they've allowed you to do much more than you used to do. But I am also one of those sentimental people who I love the feel of RuneScape when I first started playing the game. It's what I fell in love with as far as the game mechanics and how it operated. And there's kind of just some sentimental feel to the way it operated. To bring that back so I have a little bit of a choice as to, oh, wouldn't it be nice to do this like I used to do it, just as a novelty, but maybe not the way I play most of the game, that would be kind of nice. So I can see that the community, the long standing players, the old people who grew up on the old legacy mechanics of the game are probably seeing this as very attractive. They didn't want the entire game to be totally changed where all that was removed. Even the look of the inventory and the icons in the map and the 138 combat level, that was something they got so used to for so long, and that was what RuneScape was to them. So if there's some way just to bring that feel back, but also have the option to keep up with the changes that Jagex is introducing to make the game more interactive, so there's kind of this evolution of combat, you could say, I'm playing RuneScape in advanced mode, and so you've got another way to play it. I think that's the best thing they could have done. Rather than just go, we're getting rid of the old way and we're just giving you evolution of combat and you're going to like it. And that's what I think drove a lot of people away, and they wanted old school. And so it really got the community very emotionally involved because mm-hmm. it was a forced change that they didn't really like. It was too different. So now we have the option.
All right. And I know there are people out there as well who still, you know, will pick apart aspects of Legacy Mode, say the armor stats or, you know, maybe even just the fact that, you know, protection prayers aren't the same, that sort of thing. And these people, it always seems something that we've noticed is that it just doesn't never seems like it's enough when Jagex puts something out to try and alleviate concerns. So do you think that ultimately these people will come around and accept what's been created for them, or are those ones just too far gone?
No, I think that probably once they try it out and they find that the majority of the feel is what they were expecting, but, you know, there's a few minor things that just aren't the same, I think they'll get used to that and accept that over time. Because they are introducing quite a few things that used to be there, kind of like the special attacks on the weapons. That's why Dragon Daggers just plummeted in price, because you can't use the specials anymore. It just basically made them useless. But now, if they bring that special back, it's something whereby those who used to use it in combat are going to like it again. And God Swords and those types of things, you know, those specials are things that people enjoyed about those particular weapons in the game. And they got used to using them. They found them very effective. I particularly like the enhanced Excalibur, the healing ability
right.
that it had in its special. But when they took that away, you know, it was kind of a random chance of being healed, and it didn't feel the same. So I still went and had to have some more food. My whole tactics for using that particular weapon in battle were a little different. So if they brought that back, I would use that in certain circumstances with the monsters I used to kill and get back into that old routine again. And I think I would feel very comfortable with that.
The enhanced Excalibur does have a right-click operate option that will heal you as it did before. So that has returned to the game. And same thing with Sarah and Godsword. That spec is back. So it's not random anymore. So there we go.
Excellent. All right. So I think the community is going to like the option, because most of the feel will be there.
Sounds good. I'm just going to take the chance right now to say that Trekkie had to leave. I'm not sure if he'll be back, but we're just going to continue on as we are.
Okay.
All right. So is this the ideal solution that towards bringing the community back together before we head on into next week when Legacy Mode is released?
I think it is, because it leaves it wide open for here you have a choice of which way you wish to fight in this particular circumstance. Try them out both, see which one you like better. It's not going to be totally perfect the way you probably want it, but it probably will get you 90% of the way of what it used to feel like if you're a Legacy Mode fan. But those who like Evolution of Combat, keep doing what you're doing and nothing's changed. You have the option to use it. You're not forced to use it. So giving people the choice, I think, is the best thing that they could have done.
All right. And, you know, I ultimately ended up voting yes on this poll. I didn't think Legacy Mode was needed from the very beginning. There, you know, were ultimately better solutions out there, such as completely reforming the way momentum works and some UI changes to combat. But the reason I voted yes is there are a couple of people I'd like to bring back to the game who left when this combat change happened, just because, you know, they didn't feel like they had the time to catch up with it and learn it the same way they learned the old system. And the second reason I ultimately voted yes is because I have an interest in seeing the economy of potions and whatnot do well.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's my hope for it. And ultimately, I hope that a year from now, we're not on the same track where, you know, we're looking for a way to fix combat. I really do hope that this is the fix once and for all, because I think this is the third time we're having to change our databases around to, you know, how equipment works with the strength bonuses and removing the life point armor from them and whatnot. And it's just really annoying as a as a site owner perspective, that, you know, are we finally done yet? Can we really, you know, put an effort into updating our databases and whatnot, or should we wait another year? That sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
All righty. So that's coming on the 14th of July. People say it's not ready yet. I mean, that's typically the way Jagex betas go. They come out before people feel they're ready. But as with everything RuneScape related, if you feel that this is not ready when you get your hands on it, report the bugs, post on the forums in a clear, concise fashion as to what is wrong or what could be improved, and then I'm sure they'll take it from there. And the next update this week pertains to a character name cleanup. Do you fancy changing your name at all? I don't think you do.
No. My son suggested that I just go with Dano, so that I could be Sir Dano, Lord Dano, King Dano, whatever. I said, no, I am Uncle Dano. I mean, that's what I came into the game as, and that's what I'm always going to be.
All right. I mean, I'm not outright looking to change my name to something. The only thing I would change my name to, if, you know, it was made available, would just be Shane. But I don't know if that character is quit and the name has become free or whatnot. I remember I saw him once around in 2007, but I haven't seen him since, so who knows? But that is one name I would like to get.
Go for it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. If not, well, too bad. I'm fine with what I got. And, of course, there was also a change with this update in that, you know, there's a 28-day limit where you can change your name. Now you can pay a bond and change your name before that time is up.
That's a very nice option.
Yep. All righty. And the last thing that we'll mention just in a passing reference here is Road to the Elf City Part 2. It is the second behind-the-scenes video for this, basically covering the finalized design documents for Isleworth and Qadarn. You excited about the Elf City, Uncle Dano?
Yeah, I think so, because I think it's going to open up a lot of different things. They are certainly putting a lot of effort into it and bringing to the game a lot of different enhancements that are not already in the game. I mean, this particular video highlights the fact that I believe they were highlighting that there will be a maxed guild, right? So when you have your max cape, you can go into this guild and there are certain features there that'll be only available to max players. I'm not maxed yet, so I'm not really interested in that yet, but it is doing some very good additions and customizations in this particular area, this city, to make it unique part of Gelinor, which is really good. It's just not a cheap little enhancement with, hey, here's the end of the quest and here you have a leftover city with the same type of stuff that you would do everywhere else. They're actually making it very unique and are putting a lot of effort into it. So I am looking forward to it.
10 years of history waiting, doing quests. I can't believe we're actually on the road to, you know, completing this and tying off one of RuneScape's biggest, if not the grandest, storyline in game.
Yes, and if Trekkie were here right now, he'd be giggling like a schoolgirl, as he says.
10 years. Like that?
Kind of. I won't attempt that. I think I'll hurt myself.
Alrighty. Well, that's it for RS updates this week. We're going to move right on to your listener questions right now. We got an audio question this week from Brian that questions our honesty.
If the cashier at the checkout makes a pricing error in your advantage, do you correct them or do you stay silent?
You know, it's too bad he's not here to answer this, because in pre-show he did have an interesting story about this, but I'll let you give your answer first.
I would, of course, point it out. The first thing is that when I buy something, I usually, and it all depends on what the price is, right? But when I buy something, we look for stuff on sale, we shop around, we try and get the best deal. And when I pick it up and take it to the cashier, that is the price that I am willing to pay. And so when it comes up on there and I look that all of a sudden it's less than what the sticker price is, I will point it out and say, is it on sale even more than what this is? Because if the at the end of the day, if the, it's a, the cashier's fault for not pointing that out, or they could get into real trouble if they're actually processing stuff not at the price at which the store has posted the price for. So the cashier could get into trouble, and I don't want that to happen to them. So I'm a very honest person. I will bring it up, and most of the time that when you do that, and if the cashier says, oh, okay, it's our policy that, that, you know, if it comes up at the less price, we have to give it to you for that price. And so as long as you've pointed it out, in my mind, you've done your due diligence. I wouldn't hide the fact and try and get away with it. I think that's just plain dishonest.
All right. That's completely fair. I would ultimately do the same if the price came up, you know, if it was a bit lower than expected. Maybe it's maybe I got the wrong SKU or something like that. Specifically thinking, you know, if I'm purchasing, say, a hard drive or memory, did they give me the right model hard drive that I want? Did they give me the right memory that I want? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But one thing that I have done once or twice is that, you know, if I'm given maybe a dollar or two extra change, I don't question that. I think small change is fine if the change was dispensed in a hurry, you know, and there's people behind you, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't even count my change a lot of times. I know that's really bad. I just take it and just put it in my pocket and leave, I mean, kind of thing. But on this as well, on the other hand, if I'm paying for something and it comes up higher than the price that's on the sticker, I certainly will definitely point that out, because yes, I want to make sure that I'm not getting ripped off.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, you know, that's the reason I watch for the numbers as they come as well, because I think it's more likely that you're going to get overcharged rather than undercharged for something.
Yes.
So I think the lesson of this is to just watch the numbers as they come up and, you know, point out things that are different than you think that they're supposed to be, because not only does that, like you said, make you an honest person, but it also contributes, you know, to just figuring out errors and wherever you might be, whatever store that might be.
Right. And in the end, I mean, if you're consciously making a decision that, oh, I'm going to get away with this, this is great, you know, I'm getting it for less, you know what, you're going to feel bad later on when you say, you know what, that wasn't really the right thing to do. It will bug you. Your conscience will come into play and you will feel bad for that. And that thing that you bought is not going to feel as valuable as it was if you paid for it honestly.
Very good. All righty. Thank you, Brian, for that question. One's got to wonder why sometimes the questions that people come up with, why they make it on the show, right?
Right.
All righty. Next one is from Tannis Half-Elf, one of our Informer writers. Do you think Legacy is really ready for release? I'm not sure it is. This is exactly what I was afraid of, a rush job. So have you had a chance to look at the Legacy beta?
No, I haven't. So I don't really have too much input into this. But with most releases that Jagex does, it's not going to be perfect. And there's going to have to be patches and updates to fix certain things. But as you've pointed out on shows before, that is why it's so important for people to give valuable feedback during the beta so they can fix it before it goes live. And if you're really interested in seeing Legacy become a real good part of the game, please spend the effort in the beta to give your feedback back to Jagex.
Oh, yeah. Like, just to give everyone an example, yesterday I headed into the beta once I heard that it was approaching release. And, you know, I just had a final look around the things that I normally do pertaining to combat, you know. The armor I have, and, you know, is there anything here that really looks off that I'm not going to be able to handle in-game when this comes up on Monday, and I better get this reported in before you know, before the time runs out. Even not just for legacy mode, but for the global changes that are being made to combat. Like, are you the right combat level? Do you see yourself as being as where you should be? The formula is correct, so that's something that we know is right, but it's just that sort of thing, that self-inquisitive nature that everybody should be doing in-game, looking at all your armor and, you know, making sure everything is right. So definitely do that this weekend and send in any last-minute feedback. I think at this point we're probably too late to have an effect on the thing we'll see on Monday, but there's always a big release after any kind of software is released to the public of bug fixes and whatnot. So keep that in mind. And, you know, I ultimately think Legacy Mode, the way they did the brown UI when they were initially thinking of it, is either going to be brown or silver of the two previous Evolution of Combat UIs, and people wanted the brown one. You know, the brown one's a bit more flatter than it used to be. There's some things that look different for sure. And, I mean, these are things that can be polished up in the future. And if I was going to be using Legacy full-time, which I'm not, but that's definitely one of the things that I would have created a topic on and, you know, drawn some attention to, is that, okay, this is Legacy Mode. It's got the right color shading and whatnot, but just because it's flat and it, you know, it doesn't have all the, you know, same paint, let's just say, that the old one had, let's, you know, bring some attention to this and see if other people feel the same about it. That is the way you want to go around addressing feedback for something in RuneScape, especially when they do forum Q&As, because there's just so much stuff out there that, you know, is just noise in the forums as to, you know, what is right and what isn't, that you got to be clearly concise and you got to phrase your topics in such a way that people will want to reply to them and reply to them constructively. So that is the biggest piece of advice I can give everyone with an example, because I know I've said it before, but this is actually with an example of something I would do if I was going to be using Legacy.
Yeah, and that point is really valid. I mean, you can browse the forums and just see for yourself, is that those posters that actually post an intelligent forum post with a very good subject line, and it's well constructed, it's polite, respectful, but it gets the point across, get the most constructive feedback. The ones that just go out there with, you know, an exclamation of, you know, this sucks, and they're going to get the same types of response. It's not going to be very helpful. It's just going to be ranting.
And this is what I highlighted on the supplemental 2 weeks ago, is that these people are just ranting for no apparent reason, for things that Jagex have already signed off on. And that's why I asked earlier, is it enough? That was the title of supplemental. Will it ever be enough? And obviously, I think for these people, it's not. And it comes as a level of maturity with playing RuneScape that you need to be able to accept from time to time things that Jagex does. Because I think anybody who plays has a certain level of gratification or, you know, just excitement or happiness for what they have provided us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from that, these people have provided you so much in the past. Shouldn't it just sometimes be upon you to accept what they give you? If they say, okay, we heard your guys' complaints on this, but we decided it can't be that way.
Yeah, you do have to respect that, you know, they are the ones that are designing this, and they're taking as much as possible the entire community into account when they make these changes. So as the old axiom is, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all of the people all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep in mind that you do have to accept some little things that just aren't going to be totally perfect. If you give valuable feedback to Jagex in a very respectful way and justify that this is the way that it would be improved and make those suggestions appropriately, they probably will take those into account and make the subsequent changes to make it better.
Yeah, and I mean, a classic example of that is I'm a longtime member, and I really felt that Power to the Players, when it came out in January, was a mistake, you know? And I said my piece when that first came out. I had some problems with some of the polls along the way, specifically the Dragonstone ones. But here we are, halfway through the year, and it's something that I have accepted and moved on with, primarily because of this show. And it's a discussion that we need to have weekly on the show pertaining to the polls. And I will note that, yes, there are no polls this week. I did not forget them. Alrighty. Thank you, Tanis. Do you want to read the last question for us?
Yeah, this is a question from Clamhound. Dear hosts, with Legacy Mode coming out this Monday, which weapons do you think will go up in price, if any at all? Also, I took your advice and bought a Ceridoman Godsword. This thing is amazing for Slayer, and I never have to bring food or pots on a Slayer task. Yours truly, Clamhound. Well, this one, yeah, he's hit the nail on the head, is that there are certain weapons, and I think I pointed it out before, that have these specials that are going to be just wonderful in Legacy Mode, because when we used to use them, and you got used to using those specials as part of your attack routine, they become a very valuable part of your combat. And I think that all of the God Swords will probably go up, or anything that has a very valuable special associated with it. I'm wondering whether or not Abyssal Whips might go back up as a PvP kind of weapon of choice like it used to be, even though its special wasn't the most beneficial. But I don't think it will, because there's just so many stronger weapons in the game now that, yeah, you know, the whip is just useless anymore. But I still use it, actually.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a perfectly good weapon, especially with the vine attachment, you know, because it brings it up to a level 75 weapon. Yes. But the whip has actually gone up in price around 18K in the last week. This could be a normal undulation in the price, but it already did actually go up. It shot up at the end of May, I think, when Legacy was first announced. It shot up all the way to 147K. So
is that an indication?
Yeah, I think people have already bought their weapons when they, you know, first heard about this. It's typically what people do. I know there's a lot of panic selling of some wand or something. I have no idea what that was about. But, yeah, chances are we've already seen weapons go up that have gone up. But to give you an idea, let me just look up the price of the Ceridoman Godsword right now to give you an idea of what it's done in the last month and a bit. 30 days ago on June 6th, the Ceridoman Godsword was 30 million, give or take. Then it shot up again at the beginning of June when Legacy hype was ramping and everything, all the way to 34, and it's since stabilized down to 31. So we did see a bit of a jump about a month ago with prices pertaining to Legacy. And like I said, you know, this could be natural fluctuation, or it could be because of Legacy. We'll just have to wait and see what these weapons ultimately end up doing.
Yeah, and those are probably the real keeners who are really avid gamers in this game, and they're trying to get, you know, that particular weapon, anticipating that it's going to be much more beneficial than it is now, and they didn't want to miss out on you know, buying it at a cheaper price, speculating that it's going to go up in price. Once Legacy Mode comes in, it'll be interesting to see those graphs again, mm-hmm. to see how the rest of the community, who isn't really quick on the draw, start, oh, okay, I'm going to get myself a Ceridoman Godsword now. Well, you know, now it is up to 45 mil again. So
yeah,
I was lucky, and I got a lucky Ceridoman Godsword, scored that on the treasure hunt, so I'm
wow,
good with
nice.
That.
Yeah, I haven't got anything lucky or very rare on there for quite some time, so I guess I just don't have the luck with treasure hunter. But I will say that it looks as though most pieces of equipment, weapons in particular, have been down over the last week or last 2 weeks. So now might be a decent time to purchase, I think, because the amount of decline hasn't been too bad. So if you have the money sitting, now might be a good time.
Yeah. And it's not just weapons as well, but you mentioned it that hopefully this brings back the potion market as well, because in legacy mode, maybe potions are going to be much more valuable in the game.
Yeah, and I mean, if I just look, say, at the ranging potion right now, it's been relatively steady over the past year at around 12k or 10k on the average. Right now it's around 12k. So, I mean, if we could see a spike from that, if PvP does return, that would be very good, you know, for those who want to be self-sufficient and, you know, make their own potions and sell them and do that sort of thing. So,
yep.
Interesting
Maybe
times await.
Will go back up.
Yes, yeah. That is something that could end up happening. I think the way that the prices were supposed to work in legacy mode for food is that they are back being linked to your level. Though I don't have official confirmation on that. I need to get somebody who doesn't have 99 constitution to check that with me in the beta, what food heals. So that'll be something to do on Monday.
Okay. But,
yeah, Cerebrus, that would definitely be nice. Right now, Flask is only 4.1k, which is rather disappointing. Yep. But alrighty, well, thank you for the questions, everyone. If you want to send us a question, you can do that in three ways. First way, the simplest way, is to just tweet us at RSBNB staff with your question. Just say RSBNB update question, or put a hashtag in there to a similar effect and tweet us at RSBNB staff. We'll put it in. That's how Tanis sent his question in. Secondly, you can send an audio question in like Brian did. Just email those to questions@rsbnb.com or leave them on Skype. The username is rsbnbupdate. And the third most conventional way is for you to visit our forums every Monday. The topic will be posted, and you can post there using your forum account, rsbnb.com/forums. Alrighty, what do you say we move on to tech news?
Sounds great.
Alrighty, so for all you Windows users out there, you received a Windows update this week on Tuesday, and you also received an emergency Windows update on Thursday. This one, as it is an emergency update, is something that definitely should be installed for those of you guys on Windows, Windows 7, 8 now, and Vista. Basically, what this update does is it revokes a certain set of SSL certificates for your browsers. So what this means is that if you're browsing to a website that has HTTPS in the URL, and let's say this website has been hijacked and it's been replaced with one of these malformed certificates, your browser will be able to intercede and not show you this web page. Now, you might think, why could this end up happening? I only use websites like Twitter and Facebook that are big and are going to be 100% secured. Well, the thing is that you could have a piece of malware installed on your system that acts as a man in the middle and replaces these SSL certificates, which can compromise your security online. And if that happens, well, you can have a whole bunch of stuff happen with your data being sent out on the internet. So this is really an important update to run on your system if you're running Windows Vista 7 or 8.
How about old fossils like me who have Windows XP still?
You just need to be very careful online, because Windows XP does not receive software updates anymore. So you just need to be as careful as you can be. Not go to websites that you don't trust. Be very careful with what you download and install on your computer, and hope that you don't get some sort of worm on your network that will attack you. That is the things that you can do to be very secure. And it is possible. You just need to remain hyper-vigilant.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So please run your Windows updates out there, everyone. I know the vast majority of us are on Windows here, and there are a lot of URLs that are prone to being spoofed by this. So it's definitely something that needs to happen. So Google, Yahoo, whole bunch of domains like that. So please run your Windows updates. The next piece of tech news affects Mac users. Apple has proactively blocked older versions of the Flash plugin to prevent it from playing. Basically, What this means is for people who don't update their Flash player on Safari or Firefox on OS X won't have access to Flash. So what Apple does is says, okay, this is a security threat to our computer users. We're not going to allow you guys to run Flash. That is why some people's Flash plugins will have stopped working this week. So if you're on a Mac and your Flash player stopped working, you just need to visit Adobe and update your Flash player to the most recent version to ensure that you are running a secure version. And if you use Google Chrome, you don't need to worry because Google ships their own version of Flash for you. And, I mean, really, in this day and age, we got to ask how many websites out there, aside from YouTube, really use Flash.
Yeah, YouTube's the main one.
Yeah, and I mean, even YouTube, if you have a browser like Chrome, you can run YouTube without using the Flash plugin. Alrighty. And the final piece of tech news is another Apple story. China has deemed the iPhone as a danger to national security. This is coming from Chinese state media, of course. They cite the ability of the phone to track and timestamp user locations. The frequent locations feature on the iPhone that allows users to see where they've been and allow the phone to generate a list so it can provide better weather, maps, that's some sort of thing. It's like that. They view it as extremely sensitive data. Basically, they say that this could reveal an entire country's economic situation and even state secrets. So it sounds to me as if the Chinese government is getting a little bit uptight, let's say, about the capabilities of the iPhone, which it's
just
China,
a little.
What do we expect, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's data that, you know, is supposed to be encrypted on your phone, and from what I know of iPhone security, the iPhones are essentially little bricks of cryptology, and they are very, very strong in that regard. So there's really not that much to be worried about with it. So it's really a Chinese state secret that is the problem here, or state media, rather. Alrighty, welcome back.
Sorry, it was last minute notice. They came home too early.
Oh, okay. Well, you can just fill everyone in then if you want. We just wrapped up tech news.
Okay, so we got Scale of the Month for July, ain't it?
Please, take us through the Scale of the Month update.
And Enshin, well, Tim is still first place in divination. He has gained 6.3 million. Next is Flash at 5.6, and third is Source 5757 at 4 million. And still a really tight race for fourth, and second, first and second can still be pretty close. So this is interesting. Someone's doing some real no life in.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see this race going on, because the last couple have just been complete blowouts, and there hasn't really been any competition. So I'm glad for this.
Okay, and this is, we also have an article from Alex43 on the legacy.
Yeah, Uncle Dana, did you have a chance to have a look at that yet?
Yeah, I did. I think it was a very, very well-written article. I liked his opinions on that, and I'd encourage everybody to check that out.
Yeah, all our writers have really taken it upon themselves, you know, to promote legacy in their own ways, and really highlight the positives and the downsides of it. I'm really quite proud of all of them as to what they've come up with. So good job, everyone, on Informer. So that is at informer.rsbnb.com. Okay, in achievements of the week, this week we have two. We have CompSci with 99 crafting on July 8th. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
And we got YNW alone. We got 99 Dungeoneering on July 5th. Congrats to you, too.
Yeah, congrats
job,
to both
everyone.
Of you.
last week we almost had a record-tying week, Dano. It almost tied your record. It wasn't from one person, but it was from pretty much everyone. I think we had 10 or 11 last week.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but my record was beat by, I think it was Garden Gal.
Yeah, Garden Gal 4, I believe.
Yeah. Yep. And I did get in contact with her afterwards and basically congratulated her. I was a little bit behind the times being busy in real life, but I think one of the statements that she said was, would I be angry or mad or sad that somebody beat me? I said, absolutely not. I said, I did that just for my own gaming experience. And if I could encourage others to do the same, to bring the same type of joy, that would just bring joy to me. So keep working at those 99s and make it special in my mind. Play the game so that it's fun to you. And if you want to get several in a row, go for it. Because it's kind of neat to try and coordinate them all together to get them all up there at the same time. Yeah. It's very, very tricky.
And try to be like Mike trying to get a 99.
Yeah, he got his only 99 accidentally one day.
Yes, I believe it was in Dungeoneering too. Or no, yeah, no, it was
a quest.
It was a sinkhole.
Oh, okay, sinkhole.
That was sinkhole.
Yeah.
I think it was.
We'll have to ask him about that.
I think he hits something.
Yeah.
If he even remembers.
Ooh. I kind of wish I could do a marathon session like that again, but I just don't have two skills that I like enough to do that, if you know what I mean.
So, yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
You can always go back to old school.
No, thank you.
Why don't you coordinate all to 120? That would be interesting as heck.
Well, I'll do that for farming and herbalore. Those are the two I've been working on, which I'll tell you guys about in just a bit. But Uncle Dano, I believe you have a pick for us this week.
Yeah, I do. This is a website called Logical Increments, www.logicalincrements.com. And if you are in the if you're in the market to actually build your own gaming PC, this site's for you. You can actually select your country. It has all the different components from your graphics card, your CPU, your motherboard, your RAM, your power supply, your case, etc. And it will tell you basically how good each one of those components are. It gives you the retail price on them, and you can pick and choose your components based on how good you want your machine. It actually also has a whole bunch of guides. If you're not familiar with how to build your own PC, it'll actually teach you actually how to put it together as well. And it not only does main components for the actual CPU for the box, but it also has peripheral guides too. So if you're looking at a new mouse, looking at a new screen, something like that, you can go to their guides as well. And in my situation, I've got my old XP machine and I just haven't got around to upgrading yet. I'm thinking, what is my best bet? I'm going to look at, the pre-built systems, maybe one from Dell, maybe one from Asus, maybe one that's from a computer shop, and see what I want to configure it like and see what my price range is. And I'm thinking about probably in the order of about $700 to $800. Just for the box. I don't need a screen, keyboard,
that's,
mouse, or anything
that's
else.
Good budget.
So that should last me a good 6-7 years in my mind for what we do with it at least. And I'm thinking that this is great even just to look at what the comparison is between graphics cards, CPUs, so that when I look at these pre-built systems, I can see where does it fall if I were to build it with that particular component in it. Where can I save some money, maybe get a pre-built with the onboard graphics card, but then I want to upgrade to a good gaming graphics card. I can pick one here that they find outstanding and it's, $250. Hey, I'll take that one. I'll take bits and pieces and components of maybe what they're recommending on this particular site and build it into my system. So I find this to be a very, very good site that I came across. It has a lot of good guides, a lot of good part recommendations. And because I know we've had a lot of comments and forum threads within even the RSB&B site. I'm thinking of upgrading. I'm thinking of getting a new monitor, a new graphics card. What do you guys all recommend? Hey, use this as a resource, at least to get you started. And yeah, I believe it's updated all the time.
And these are, I mean, they're pulling from various sources along the way. I mean, we got NVIDIA graphics cards on here. We got AMD graphics cards on here as well. Most of the CPUs, except for a couple of them, look to be Intel. And, I mean, speaking from a hardware perspective for all the prospective PC builders out there, and you as well, Uncle Dano, when you get down to it, at the end of the day, if you're choosing between two different brands of hard drive manufacturer or memory manufacturer, you're really not going to see a performance difference that's measurable between those two manufacturers.
Right.
My favorite right now is looking at the best builds, and Crysis 1 is on the list. You know what I think should be on the list? Ghostbusters from Atari. I had better performance with Crysis 1 than I did with Ghostbusters.
Really?
I got killed by candles. You know how humiliating that is to be killed by candles?
It's almost like when you died on that last Slayer task, and X-Blades had to point it out.
Well, you did tell you later on that he did die the next day.
Yeah, that's right.
Me and him finished a co-op, and he got roasted by a dragon. So, ha! He forgot to pot up, and he went in, hit a seal dragon. Boom! Oops, you did. All right.
Good job, Uncle Dano. I really like this pick of the week, and it's something I will point out to people who are building a system. So thank you for this. And another good thing about this
You're very welcome.
See at the beginning is that somebody who doesn't know exactly what something is, it puts it in... simple words as to, for example, what is a CPU? What does the memory do? That sort of thing. So very good indeed. Good job. Logicalincrements.com. All right. So what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tricky.
Oh, me? Well, I've been working all week. That's basically it. And my cousins and all of them and my aunt, they went on vacation for a week. I assume they would be back roughly around 8:30. I assumed wrong. So that's why I had to leave mid-show, which totally made Shane very unhappy. But Shane's always unhappy. So anyway.
I didn't rage at all. It's okay. You can consult the recording on that.
You were a burning mess. Finally beat Assassin's Creed Black Flag the other day. Took me a while. And I actually today just got 98 Slayer through player-owned ports, and I didn't even know I was getting it.
Yay!
I just doing it, and then like, huh? Oh! Did not know that I was that close. Cool! Other than that, did some StarCrafting with Shane. We had some fun ones. Had a very fun one. Had a very greedy one.
that was the best game in a long time.
So anyway, that's about it. And if you guys need questions about ports, I'm here because some people have been asking on the forum. So hit me up.
Alrighty.
Take me back to parts.
How about you, Dana?
He
was being a hippie.
A hippie? What do you mean
planting
a hippie?
Trees, man.
Oh, planting trees, yes. not so much a hippie. Let's start with real life. Well, yeah, with my conservation biologist job, everything has been very, very busy because we're working on helping to put in some landscaping and some ecological restoration associated with a multi-billion-dollar highway, which is connecting a new bridge crossing between the United States and Canada in my jurisdiction. And it's in my jurisdiction that this is happening. So as the regional biologist here, I'm advising them on, number one, not to have a negative impact on what the environment is like now, and as you build it, to enhance it and to blend in all the landscaping. So over time, this highway kind of becomes additional habitat. And they've had to do some amazing things through the permitting, through the local ministry here, where they're moving endangered and threatened species out of the way of the highway and creating additional habitats for them. I've been involved all the way along in that. But it certainly keeps me hopping this type of year because everything's being planted right now, and it's a massive multi-billion-dollar project. So I haven't had too much time to play because I'm putting a little bit of overtime in at work. So when I do play, it's usually just a few hours here or there during the week, and I just jump in and do some daily challenges and get some daily things done, collect some bonus XP off of a few spins or whatever they are, and that's about it. Other than that, I've just been working on trying to get some of my last skills that are below 90 up to 90, and there's only two left. I have 88 thieving and 89 agility. And once I get those, everything will be over 90. And I'm working on my second set of 99s in the future sometime. I'm very close to 99 prayer, very close to 99 dungeoneering. And I think I'll probably link those with the other combat ones. So it'll be attack, strength, defense, and constitution. And I'm thinking of trying to bring some others up along with them that are relatively close that might not be in the compact or combat realm, just to see if I can just get as many as I can. But, you know, with combat, it's kind of difficult. So you have to really be very, very aware of where you're getting your XP when you're hitting something. Especially with all the bonus XP and everything else kicking in, you know, it's a lot of monitoring, let's just say. So there'll be another round of multiple 99s. It certainly probably won't be another 12, but it'll be my first 12 99s were all kind of in the gathering and production skills. This one will probably be more combat oriented. So it's just another realm of multiple 99s I'm working on. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, we look forward to announcing those.
Yeah, and my children are enjoying the summer vacation. They're off school now. My son's turned 16, so he's reading his books in order to get his driving license, his learner's permit. And so I'll probably be enjoying helping him learn how to drive also this summer.
Oh, fun.
Hmm. Yeah.
And there's no rhinos that you're conserving, are there?
No rhinos. There's lots of snakes. There's eastern fox snake, Butler's garter snake. Oh, yeah. Those are ones that are on our endangered species list here in southern Ontario. Yeah.
I had no idea we had snakes in Canada anywhere.
Oh yeah. We got lots.
Interesting.
How many poison ones do you guys have?
They're not really poisonous. We have a Massasauga rattlesnake, which does have some venom, but it won't kill you. I mean, you just have to go to the doctor and just make sure that the wound is kept clean, but you won't die from it.
Well, that's
compared
good.
Compared to ours, that thing's a kitty cat.
You're much more likely to come down with something more serious like West Nile disease from a mosquito bite, or Lyme disease from ticks. Which are all, both of them are bacterial infections. So,
Yeah, always got to wear bug spray and make sure you cover up adequately to minimize the chance of getting mosquito bites. I know when we were out for Canada Day at night and it was dark, tons and tons of mosquitoes. You really got to cover up entirely for that. So,
oh, yeah.
Anyways, as for me this week on RS, I am only 5 plate away from completing my Tetsu armor set. So I just need those fellows to come back to port. I believe it's the convict or somebody gives plate. I don't remember who exactly it is. I just look at the missions and see if the plate mission pops up and next time I get that, it's all resources into that and complete that set of armor. And that'll be one of the long-term goals that I started on ports. And yeah, I know you were hounding me before to start that earlier, start my ports earlier, but I am completely fine with where we are at right now. So,
very nice.
But aside from that, just been doing farming and herb lore primarily. I'm up to the point where I can do a 45-minute long farming run now, which I haven't been able to do for a long time, and I'm happy about that, to say the least. Might also add some wood cutting into the regime as well, maybe, or Slayer instead to get 95 for the Ganondermic creatures. That's two of the possible things that are on the roadmap. But aside from that, I am exploiting the fact of having 99 farming, and I will basically tell everybody out there who has 96 farming or higher that grapevine bushes are great profit. That's all I got to say.
Mm.
So
right.
Basically, yes. Plant the grapes, make the wine. Guthix wine is pretty much useless. It can generate some nice profit, but nowhere near as nice as Ceridomen or Zamorak wine. So that is where the profit lies with those. And that's actually how I'm funding everything, through wine. So I'm happy with that.
You're a wino.
Yeah, on RS at least. So, but I sell it, so I don't
wine
know if it counts.
Wine connoisseur.
Yeah, or just a wine brewer. I mean, isn't that the next logical step? You start by planting crops or whatever, then you start by making wine after that?
Yep.
Maybe? I don't know. But alrighty. Well, I think that pretty much does us in for this week's episode of RSBB Updates. So thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to find more of us through the week, just find us on Twitter at RSBB Staff. For Uncle Dano, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Godspeed, everyone, and have another fine day in escape. And save the rhinos.
Alrighty, and of course, thank
you.
Thank you, my co-host, for coming back from AFK. See you next week.
It wasn't
everyone.
AFK. I had unofficial duties. We'll be right back.